M&J Audio Theater presents Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue.
Come right in and have yourself a seat. Rest your weary bones. Yes. Allow me to introduce myself. I am Chet Cheddar, the morgue attendant. I'm also a licensed embalmer and the resident storyteller. Now, let's see what I have for you today. Yes, my story for today begins in Biloxi, at a new restaurant owned by a retired seaman named Buford Van Horn. Buford's Bar and Seafood Place, it was called.
I have a cherry pie special there, Buford.
Already? One cherry pie special coming up. Will you be having any coffee with that, Mr. Ferris?
Yeah, give me a coffee with about 6 sugars.
Oh, a sugar coffee. I got you.
I'm finished with this paper, Caesar, if you want it. Be sure to check out the headline. It's a doozy.
Thank you, Doc Stone. Let's see here. Oh, no, it happened. Look at this, Buford. Yeah. Elmer Corn made the front page.
Oh, well, that's not a surprise. He's the talk of the town.
Saved from gator attack. Tuesday afternoon, a truck transporting 12 Louisiana gators to Marshall County overturned on Highway 171. The alligators escaped into the streets of Biloxi and caused a panic among the citizens. A local resident, Elmer Corn, risked his life to capture the 12-foot-long gators. It was a good example of mind over manpower, said Mr. Corn, of the ordeal.
Dad, come it! Buford, I helped Elmer with that. I should get some credit, too.
Well, now, maybe you can be one of them there unsung heroes.
Yeah.
Here's your pie, Mr. Ferris.
You know, the sun will still set and rise without that Elmer Corn. Thank you, Buford.
Hey, mister, my daddy says that you know Elmer Corn. Is that right?
Yeah, I know Elmer Corn, and what's it to you, little girl?
He's my hero. I want to get his autograph.
You don't want Elmer Corn's autograph. Heck, he's just a manure hauler. That's all he is.
But he wrestled all those alligators. Not even my daddy could do that.
Yeah, well, he didn't exactly wrestle them.
Hey, looks like old Mr. Corn is quite a popular fella. I think I'll need my cherry pie after.
Sure, you just do that, Buford. How about this? Let's erect a gold statue in his honor and then rename the town Elmer City. How about that?
I never thought of that.
Hey, little girl, come over here.
Yeah, sir.
I bet Elmer Corn can't dislocate his shoulders like I can. Watch this.
I've never seen anything like that before, Mr. Ferris.
Wait a minute. Isn't that neat? You don't like it? It'll just come back into place. I just...
Have there, Mr. Van Troutman. See something?
Well, if it isn't the man of the hour. Hey, everyone, Mr. Corn's here. Yay!
Oh, now.
Yeah.
Now, come on.
Yeah, plus.
All right, let's settle down now. I told him not to make such a fuss and print that story in the paper.
Yeah, I'm sure,
and
Elmer.
Come, Cecil, what in the world happened to your shoulder?
I dislocated my shoulders on purpose.
Look at this.
If I try hard enough, I can touch them both together.
No, don't do that, Cecil. Dadgum. You're liable to get stuck that way. That ain't nothing to brag about.
Hey, Elmer, I've got a grizzly bear for you to wrestle.
All right. Okay, you fella, stop pulling my dadgum leg. Now, y'all know how the Biloxi Gazette blows everything out of proportion. Now, I didn't wrestle no dadgum gators. I got the whole idea from a cartoon. I just rubbed them on the belly. They get just as docile, they go right to sleep. Well, heck, Cecil helped me load them back into the truck.
I sure did. Heck, I was holding the most dangerous part, the jaws. I could have got my arms bit off.
Ain't nothing worse than a fella who brags.
Now, wait a minute. Now, Cecil deserves the credit. I mean, even a drowsy gator can be dangerous. So, Cecil, we still on for tonight? You gonna come over and watch wrestling matches with me? The Mala Warrior's gonna unleash a new hold, the Persian Spine Snapper.
Well, I don't know, Elmer. I just might not be able to make it tonight. How about that?
Well, suit yourself. That just means more chili dogs for me. Gracious sakes alive, what a noise.
Elmer!
Yeah, it shook the whole place. What in the world was that?
Elmer, I saw it through the window. It came from the sky. It landed in Miss Plunkett's backyard.
Dead gum. Look at the size of that thing, Mr. Buford. Whatever it is, it's landed in old Winter Plunkett's yard. Lord, that old woman's gonna have a conniption fit.
Yeah, it's a big metal thingamajig.
Yeah.
Bet the size of my trailer.
Yeah, it's drawing a little crowd of onlookers, I see.
Yeah.
You can bet your price dear this is gonna be in the front page of the Gazette tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, this is exciting news, almost as exciting as you wrestling them alligators.
Oh, well, you get on out of here. Well, let's go golf with the rest of them. What do you say?
Are you going to do your duty and get these people out in my yard, or do I have to go get my squirrel gun?
Now, you just simmer right down, Miss Plunkett. If there's going to be any shooting done around here, I'm going to do it myself.
Hot dog, we get to use our pistol, Sheriff?
Let's don't go for our guns quite yet. What do you say, Roland?
Okay.
So won't you go up and tell that crowd to back away from that thing? We don't know what we're dealing with yet.
Yes, sir, Sheriff. I'll go over there and holler at them right now. All right. Okay, everybody. Everybody back off now. Back off. It's police business. Don't make me use the tear gas and the rubber bullets.
Okay, okay.
You got any idea what that thing is, Sheriff?
Well, I don't know, Elmer. It's a big metal thorn in my side is what it is. Big hunk of space junk, probably. Just had to fall during lunch hour.
I'll bet you it's a meteorite. I'm going to go poke it with a stick.
Now, you ain't going to get near that thing, Ernie. You see, you can hear that humming noise coming from it. That doohickey still got some power in it. You stay away from that thing.
Well, here comes Cecil Ferris in his motorcycle. He might have some ideas of what it is.
Yeah, sure. Ask Cecil. That'll be good for a laugh.
Hey, Cecil.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah, Elmer. Sorry it took me so long. My signal kept breaking down.
Cecil, that pile of junk ain't worth the air in its tires. Why don't you just scrap that eyesore?
You watch what you say about my sickle, Bert. That thing can't defend itself.
Now, let's not scuffle, boys. Let's not scuffle. We were studying on what this thing is, Cecil.
Yeah.
You got any guesses?
Well, I guess it could be a UFO.
Ain't that just like a hick? If it falls from space, it's got to be a UFO.
Yeah, Cecil, you reckon there's some face-melting aliens in there?
Hey, Kevin, why won't anybody listen to me?
Now, y'all get off Cecil's back. I ain't seen near one of y'all come up with an idea that's better than he has.
Okay.
UFO sounds just about as good as any.
Yeah, right.
When it comes to being a hick, Ernie, you got that down to an art form.
Now, wait a second.
But now, I think, boys, I think I got this narrowed down. Whatever that thing is, it comes from this planet.
How you think?
Look on there on the side. Look at there. It's some writing, and it's English, too.
It sure is.
Look at there. Property of Innovatrix, a private firm. Patent pending. If this satellite falls to Earth, please call 1-800-BIG-BANG. Big Bang, that don't sound good.
I want that big old thing up in my property, you understand, Sheriff?
Yes'm, Miss Plunkett, yes'm. It looks like it only weighs about 20 tons, so I'll tell you what, I'll hook it up to the squad car and I'll drag it out in the ditch for you, all right?
Sheriff, I think me and the boys got it figured out. I think it's a satellite. It's got a number on the side of it, 1-800-BIG-BANG.
Big Bang, Big Bang. I gotta write that down on my hand.
Later, on a small, secluded tropical island.
Here's your martini, Mr. Golden Spoon.
Oh, bless you, child. Basking in this hot sun works up a thirst. Yeah. Be a dear love. Find someone to shimmy up that tree and retrieve me a pineapple, would you? I'm a tad peckish. There's a good girl.
Of course, Mr. Golden Spoon. There's a telephone call for you on line two. Yeah. It's Mr. Van Swizzle.
Van Swizzle? I told him not to call me here. Can't they run things for 2 bloody weeks? Now, this better be an emergency of biblical proportion, so I'll have his eyes cut out. Hello? Van Swizzle, you boob. What is the meaning of this intrusion?
We have a cold rat, Mr. Gold.
What?
The satellite has come down from orbit.
Egad, man. Say it's not so. Darling.
Yes?
Massage my temples, would you?
Of course.
I received a call from America 5 minutes ago.
America?
The satellite landed in a rural village of Biloxi, it is called, I believe.
Biloxi.
The local police officer called.
Yes.
Informed me that the satellite was indeed humming.
Humming? Zounds. That means it's still functioning. Meet me at the Heathrow Airport in 4 hours, Van Swizzle. We're going to Biloxi the minute we can book a flight.
Yes.
Pray for the sake of your career, we are not too late.
Indeed, I will be praying.
Oh, why can't my life run smoothly? After all, I'm rich.
There, now, Mr. Golden Spoon. Here's your pineapple.
Putting on a record over there.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your amazement, and for the Biloxi Gazette, Cecil Ferris, alias Dandy Daredevil, will defy death by jumping this 30 feet high and 50 foot long, whatever it is.
I can't believe you're doing this, Cecil. You're going to break your fool neck or worse.
Elmer, this is something I just have to do. Now, we're just going to see who's going to be on the front cover of the Biloxi Gazette tomorrow.
Well, I know who's just liable to be in the obituaries. Cecil, that old motorcycle ain't going to jump that satellite. Sheriff, you got to do something about this. That old scooter, it's held together with chicken wire. He's going to break every bone in his body.
Yeah, you just cool off, Elmer. He ain't going to hurt himself. We got an ambulance standing by in case he does. Besides, he's donating half the ticket money to the policeman's boss.
Attention, everyone. Get your camcorders rolling. The death-defying stunt will now begin.
Sakes alive.
Whenever you're ready, Cecil.
Cecil, get off that sickle.
No.
Come on, you ain't got nothing to prove.
No.
Let's go frog gigging.
You hear that, Elmer? You hear that? I'm gonna be famous now. Now you just step back. I'm gonna jump that thing now.
Oh, dang. I hope that flimsy plyboard ramp holds up. Howdy, Miss Maddox, over
here. Elmer, I just got here. What's going on here, Al?
Miss Maddox, it's Cecil. Dang fool's trying to find a quick way to a broken neck.
Elmer, help me!
What happened? Did you see what happened, Elmer? The sun was in my eyes.
Yeah, I seen it, Sheriff, but it happened so quick it took a second for my brain to process it all. Cecil was just about halfway over that satellite in midair when his motorcycle just sucked out from under him and attached to that satellite like it was a magnet or something. Poor old Cecil's up in that old willow tree. I'm a-coming, Cecil. Just hang on to that willow branch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the show is now over.
Hey,
give me back my mic. Hey!
Confound it, can't you fly this jet any faster? The bleeding birds are passing us by.
We're moving twice the speed of sound, Mr. Gould.
Only Mark II? Are we in the Dark Ages or something?
Drat.
Come alive, Van Swizzle. Oh. There's no time for a lie down.
What is it?
How soon to Biloxi?
Weather permitting, we will be there in approximately 4 hours.
How much longer until the 0 hour?
It would be approximately 4 hours and 44 minutes, to be precise.
Oh, only 4 hours and 44 minutes, and my life could be ruined. This is not happening. I wish it all away.
You are not alone in your despair. People could die, Mr. Gold. I smell a foul wind that grows danker by the minute. It reeks of lawsuits and lengthy prison terms.
Oh, shut up, Van Swizzle, and go back to sleep. My only hope is they have the good sense to stay away from the satellite. Run over there to the satellite and stand next to your motorcycle, Cecil. I want to take your picture.
Hey, Elmer, I thought we were going to tie up my motorcycle and try to pull it off this thing.
Well, we will directly. I want to add this to my scrapbook of funny pictures.
I'm going to put this one next to that snapshot of you with your tongue stuck to that frozen lamppost.
Well, ain't I just the court jester here, Elmer?
Well,
maybe I ought to get into comedy and make comedy movies and just make people laugh all the daggum time.
Oh, now come on, Cecil. Don't carry on like that.
I could just spit. You know, somebody sent in a videotape of me making that jump to that old Channel 6 news.
I know. I seen it. Heck, I imagine the whole town seen it. Now, Cecil, you ought to be proud that you're a celebrity now. It ain't everybody gets on the Channel 6 hometown blooper show.
This is the most humiliating thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, now, Cecil, I wouldn't say that. I think when you got your tongue stuck at that frozen lamppost last winter, I think that beats it out in the humiliation department.
That's right, Elmer. Get your yucks like everybody else. Just call me Sir Joke-a-Lot.
I just wish you could see your face, Cecil. You look like you just got through sucking a bushel of lemons. I was just fooling you, dadgum. Cecil, every dog has his day, and your day in the spotlight's going to come. You just mark my word. All you need to do is have a little patience. Now, listen here. Grab onto your sickle and act like you're really trying to pull it off. Really, really bug your eyes out and make your tendons stick out in your neck like you're really straining, all right? Let's make it funny.
Anything to get this show on the road.
All right. That's it. Oh, I wish you could see yourself. Okay, Cecil, look at the birdie. I'm going to take this. Come on. What? Feels like someone's pulling the camera out of my hand. That I can't hold on to the dadgum thing.
Whoa, Elmer! That camera nearly hit me square in the face.
Well, I tried to hang on to it, Cecil, but it felt like it was going to jerk my arms out of their socket.
Well, let's get the sickle, Elmer. That's what we came here for.
Well, all right. I'll make a stab at it. But heck, that satellite's got a strong magnetic hold. I don't think he wants to let go of your sickle. All right, I already got the rope tied to it. You holler if it starts to slip off my trailer hitch, all right?
All right, Elmer.
All right, Bessie. Okay, now. Let's put your back into it, darling. You can do it. Hunker down, girl. Come on. Come on, Bessie girl. Come on, you can do it. Come on, now. Oh, come on, girl. Put your back into it. Dang, the tires are spinning. Shoot far. It just ain't worth stripping my gears for that raggedy old scooter. It ain't worth breaking a good rope. I'll just have to tell Cecil I just can't. Whoa! What's that humming, Sam? Golly bum! Something's pulling the truck backwards. Dadgum, that satellite's got it. Got my truck in its magnetic clutches. Lord have mercy! My front end's lifting up. It's rearing up on its back wheels. I'm going to flip over. I'm sliding into that thing. Bad jump. The truck is collapsing in on me. It's like being in a garbage compactor. Good Lord of mercy.
Elmer, you all right? You all right in there?
I've been better, Cecil. I feel more bruised than broken, though, so I guess I'm all right. How do I look from your perspective?
You look lucky to be alive, Elmer. Goodness, your truck is smushed up like an accordion.
Oh, Lord. I know this is a stupid question, but did I crush your motorcycle?
Yeah, it's junk now.
Well, heck, let's face it, Cecil. It was junk to begin with. But I am sorry about it. Dang, I don't know how in the heck I'm going to get out of this thing. Upside down in a crumpled up truck? This looks like the sort of thing we'll laugh at later on, but it ain't very funny now. I can't move my left foot. It's caught under a jagged piece of metal.
Yeah?
Would you go tell Sheriff McElroy that I'm hung up like this?
Sure.
He's got the jaws of life, you know.
Yeah, the jaws of life. I've always wanted to see one of them things work, Elmer. I'll be right back, quick as I can.
Okay, thank you, Cease. Take your time. I'll be here when you get back.
It just ain't no use, Sheriff. Elmer's still in that truck. We tried everything. Tried the jaws of life.
Yeah.
Conroy Pip down at the Grease Monkey Haven Body Shop. He brought over his cutting torch.
Yeah.
But every time you bring anything near that satellite within 20 feet,
yeah,
swoop, clang. You can't hold on to it. I mean, that sucker's magnetized sure enough.
Oh, Lord of mercy. What, did you try something wood rolling, a club or something?
Well, Ain't nothing wood strong enough to pry Elmer out of that truck chair. Bad gum. He's got his foot caught under the steering column.
Oh, Lord. We got bad luck in abundance. You went down there, Doc Stone, and took a look at him. How's Elmer look to you?
Well, sir, and near as I can see, t'weren't no broken bones or nothing, knock on wood. I have to wait and see about that leg. Rest or bruises, I'm sure Elmer will live. Unless he starves to death.
Bad gun.
Oh, heck no, I don't think he's going to starve to death. Miss Maddox brought him over a squirrel pie and some mustard greens. Fed him to him through the vent window.
Poor Elmer, caught in a 2-ton wad of pickup truck, and it's all because of me.
Well, ain't no time to worry about that, Cecil. The main concern is how to get Elmer out of there.
You know, I hear tell sometimes a rabbit, when he's caught in a trap, will chew off his own foot to get out. Of course, I just mentioned that to make conversation. I'm not suggesting Elmer do that.
Forgive my intrusion, gentlemen.
Huh?
I must speak to the officer.
Oh, well, right here, boys, right here. I'm Sheriff McElroy.
Oh, pleased to meet... Oh, so sorry. I've been running from the limousine.
That's okay.
I am Conrad Goldenspoon from Innovatrix.
Oh.
It is a private scientific research firm.
Oh, you're the satellite boys.
Indeed, we are the satellite boys.
Oh, yeah, from 1-800 Big Bang.
Yes. You spoke to my assistant, Van Swizzle, over the phone. He could not discuss this matter in detail, I'm afraid. The phones have ears, you know. However, Big Bang is, well, it's sort of our attempt at glib humor.
Uh-huh.
The satellite will not explode, I assure you.
It will, in fact, implode.
Implode?
Yes, in 20 minutes, approximately. The satellite is actually an antimatter device, you see. All living things and non-living things are composed of matter, and science dictates that matter cannot be destroyed, but we think we have found a way to do it.
Well, shoot, why did you want to do that in the first place?
The primary goal would be waste disposal, plastics and the like. They take forever to decompose. Now they could be eliminated without a trace. Of course, this implosion was supposed to be tested in space.
Uh-huh.
Gravity conspired against us.
Uh-huh, I know. And now this thing's going to go off right here in Biloxi, and you say 20 minutes?
That is correct. It is rigged with a timing device. However, I do not think there's any need for any serious concern, Sheriff. We passed by the satellite on our way here. We found a few metallic objects attached to it. It is sort of a side effect. It increases in magnetism as it nears the implosion. This will occur in a 50-meter radius, which is quite small, actually.
Yeah.
As long as no one comes near the object, no one should be hurt.
Oh, no.
The satellite itself will be destroyed, a few trees. But other than that, I think we're in the clear.
Wrong, boys. Elmer Korn has caught in one of them metal objects clinging to that satellite.
Caught in his pickup truck like a sardine.
A possible fatality, Mr. Gold.
Oh, I believe I'm going to swoon.
We can't get Elmer out of there because of that magnetic field that thing has given off. We got to stop that thing from going off, boys.
Oh.
We got about 15 minutes left. Now come up with something.
The only way, Sheriff, would be to have someone crawl into the satellite and disconnect some wires. It's a very small space, only about 5 decimeters wide. Only a child could fit.
Yeah.
Just a second. I see some.
Yeah?
And why don't you show that man what you was doing at the bar the other day?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That thing you can do with your shoulders?
Yeah, I can dislocate my shoulders. Watch this.
What does this disgusting display have to do with our dilemma?
Well, sir, I would imagine that Cecil can fit into a space about 10 or 12 inches wide when his shoulders are collapsed like that.
Oh, that could work. That could work. My man, are you willing to risk your life to save another?
Say, I'd walk over hot coals to save Elmer.
Well, keep them shoulders dislocated, Cecil. Let's go, boys.
Cecil?
Yeah?
Cecil, what in the heck are you climbing into that thing for?
Now, you just sit tight, Elmer. I gotta dislocate some wires real quick.
Well, why is everybody keeping their distance? Come on, Cecil, give me some answers
can't
now.
Do that,
well, what's going on?
Can't do that.
Are you sure them walkie-talkies ain't gonna static out around that magnetic field?
Oh, no. We designed these comlinks in a laboratory. They contain crystal circuits to function under magnetic conditions.
What in the heck are y'all doing, Sheriff? Come on, tell me.
I ain't nothing to fret about, Elmer. You just sit tight. Everything's gonna be okay.
Are you sure we're a safe distance from that satellite in case this don't, work out?
Yes, Deputy, yes. 60 meters is more than sufficient. Now, silence, please. I must talk to Mr. Ferris. Young man, approximately 5 meters into the tunnel, you will find a small hole to the right, about 5 decimeters in diameter.
What the heck is a decimeter?
I just looked for a small hole. This is where you will need to fit in order to disconnect the wires.
All right.
All right. I see a small hole. It's right here. And it's got a bunch of blinking lights in it.
Good show, Mr. Nash. You found it. Now, look into the opening. You will see four colored wires.
Four colored wires. I see them. Dadgummit, this is a tight fit. Even with my shoulders bent like a boomerang.
The blue wire. Do you see it? Disconnected at once.
Blue? I can't tell which one is blue.
This is no time for stupidity, Mr.
Bass. Ain't stupidity. I'm colorblind. I'm just going to unplug them all.
Dear God, no. No, Mr. Ferris. Don't do that. You'll trigger the implosion. Just get out of there at once. You have 30 seconds.
Japers, I'm stuck.
Lord have mercy. He can't get out of there. Hang on, Cecil. Me and Roland will get you out.
Sheriff, deputy, come back.
My words to be a confirmed.
Hang in there. We're going to throw a rope in to you, Cecil.
Yeah, don't panic, old boy.
Somebody tell me what the hell's going on.
Oh, no. They're gone. The police officers, Mr. Corn, Mr. Ferris, all gone. I've killed them all.
Well, now. That was a grim ending, wasn't it? Well, this is a morgue, you know. But please, do not despair. This story has only begun. Do return next time, won't you? You will not believe what happens next. Until then, pleasant dreams.
You have just heard Chet Cheddar's Tales from the Morgue, today's installment, part one of 1-800-BIG-BANG. For correspondence, send to P.O. Box 252, Mejia, M-E-X-I-A, Texas 76667. The names and characters portrayed in this production are fictitious. Any similarities with actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. A production by M.J. Audio Theater.
Support for this program is provided by this and other National Public Radio member stations and the NPR Cultural Program Fund. Contributors include the National Endowment for the Arts and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. This is NPR, National Public Radio.